WildTalkRadio.com.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Oh, yes!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a matter what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
We are on the Road to Survivor Series, as it was made evident here tonight. It's a Raw Post Show presented, as always, by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin', that's Lindsay Ward.
Man, this was a good show, but that crowd...
sucked.
Ooh.
Sucked.
Ooh.
Scranton, you sucked.
Scranton, get loud! Like, good lord! These people just got back from Saudi.
They gave you everything they possibly could. Good lord, you sat on your hands for 90% of the show. It was a terrible crowd. Show was good. Crowd was terrible. Anyway, the show opened with The Bloodline. Jimmy Uso, Jey Uso, and Solo Sikoa coming out to talk about everything that's happened. How they're on the way to SmackDown this Friday to set a new record. To break a record of The New Day, which brought out The New Day. This got really personal. New Day comes out, talked about how they're trying to keep their record title reign intact. Said the Usos are a good team, and the Usos said New Day are a good team, but it must be feel good to be the second best team. Woods pointed out that New Day still had a record and said the Usos are chasing them. Woods pointed out that he and Woods are first generation wrestlers and accused the Usos of having, well, everything handed to them because of, you know, their bloodline. The Usos said they wouldn't know what pressure is like to live up to because of their legacy of their family. Woods told the Usos not to speak about pressure. He said pressure sitting catering, wondering if you're going to be fired, starting a YouTube channel just to get noticed at your own company. He said he talked about how the New Day were, you know, booed when they first started. Don't talk to us about pressure. Woods said the fans know about the pressure because they know it's turned them into diamonds. Jimmy asked Xavier Woods what was talking about the diamonds in his own crown, you know, from when they destroyed his crown. Jay said that the Usos never forfeited the match. They would have never been a Kofi Mania. Jay told Kofi to stay home with the kids and let them do what they do. Kingston said, what kind of father would he be if, you know, he did that and let them just take the record? They're not going to forfeit this match. And this was really personal, really deep, and you could tell they put a lot of emotion into it. This then brought out Matt Riddle and his bongos to bring in the comedy. They wanted Woods to, you know, become part of the band that he's forming, and they made more bong jokes, and they all hit the bong. And it basically set up a six-man tag team match, which saw the Usos and Solo Sikoa get the win. Thoughts?
This was a long match. This was good. This was entertaining. I liked the promo. I liked how deep it got because obviously you're bringing the New Day back in. It's LOL New Day versus Usos. They're well aware of that. They know that they go a lot. So they made it really, really personal, which I think everybody appreciated and enjoyed. And yeah, I liked this. I thought it was good.
Big E is far away from returning. He's healthy, but he's not clear to return. You have at least five to six more months before you kind of know where he's at with it. Like, as a normal human being, he can live life normally. No problems, no nothing. When it comes to wrestling, you gotta let the bone fully, you know, figure out what it's doing and if it can take any more physical toll.
Yeah, they have to make sure his neck is super, super duper good to go because you're dealing with a C1 fracture, and that can be very, very, very bad to the point that it's catastrophic.
Yeah,
if anything happens to his neck.
Yeah, so will we ever see Big E wrestle again? I would put it...
I'd say it's 50-50 right now.
30-70. In terms of him not wrestling again. 30% that he'll wrestle. That's where I see it. Because I think, would he want to? Yeah. But is it worth the risk? I don't know.
I mean, it all depends on how he heals. It all depends on what's waiting for him when he gets back. Because what's the environment going to be like? Because he got injured pre-Triple H. And now we're in the Triple H era. And so what would be waiting for him when he gets back? What's the environment going to be like? Because we've seen major shifts in the landscape with Hunter taking over in the last couple months. We've seen a lot of returns. We've seen a lot of storylines and gimmicks change. So it would be a question of, and I don't want to say this, but would there be a place for E? Because of course there would be. They would make a place for E. But how does he fit into the new product? That would be something they would have to investigate and figure out. And does he want to fit into it at this point? I mean, they've started, because he's healed, they've kind of started doing with him what they've done with Titus O'Neil, which is they're making him more of a brand ambassador. He's going out, he's making appearances, he's doing, you know, College Game Day, he's doing NASCAR, he's doing this, he's doing that. So they're keeping him active and they're keeping him busy, but it's just a question of, can he come back?
And we're months away before his next checkup to find that out for sure. Anyway, good stuff. This was about 40 minutes of the show between the promo and everything. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
JBL came to the ring, set up Baron Corbin versus Cedric Alexander. JBL, Scranton Wilkes-Barre has not anything to do with Philadelphia, but good try taking a shot at the Phillies because you're from Texas. Good job. No one cared because the last time they were involved with Philadelphia was when they were part of the minor league system, and I don't even think they're there anymore. So, here we are. Baron Corbin won his match in really, really quick fashion over Cedric Alexander. So there was that.
There was that.
Otis beat Elias. No real shocker there. Austin Theory would end up beating Shelton Benjamin on this show. Solid little match that they had to reestablish Austin Theory. More on him in a little bit. So we have The Miz come to the ring. He said he wanted to speak with us honestly. He said Gargano's interview last week was false. He's called a smear job and said all the evidence was doctored. Miz said he had to defend himself to everyone, including his own father, who believes Johnny. Miz says the only positive is that his agent's phone has been ringing off the hook. He said he met with a Hollywood producer and she wants to tell his story. He also said he spoke to his lawyer about a defamation case. Miz then was interrupted by Johnny Gargano. Johnny said he's always liked Miz's dad and labeled a very smart man. Gargano thanked everyone and said he needed to blow the whistle on himself because it had to be done. He said the interview he did because he hoped it would lead to Miz paying Dexter his money he's owed. Gargano said he did something a little deceitful. He said he went to the Hollywood producer that Miz had dinner with because it was actually a private investigator he hired who wore a hidden camera. And when did you know it? Johnny had a remote control from his home that would control the WWE's Titantron, and boom, we saw the footage. Miz, you know, was talking about everything with the private investigator. He asked the woman if she could speak off the record, and he said everything Johnny was saying was actually true. Miz said he orchestrated the whole thing. Miz said everything that was going perfect until he stopped paying Dexter, who wouldn't let up. They asked why he didn't pay him. Miz said it was just getting out of control. Corporal was asking too many questions. The police were getting too heavily involved. He said Miz said Loomis should be thanking him. And that's where it ended. We had some fast-forwarding moments. And yeah, it led to Miz and Johnny, with Miz getting the win over Johnny Gargano, who's usually wrenched to get the job done. Miz was leaving, got attacked by Dexter, who then ran away from the cops. We didn't have a chance to talk about it. This was good. Last week was better. We didn't have a chance to talk about it. The
tell-all interview.
The tell-all interview.
With the reenactments and everything. Yes. Like, oh my god, it was so good.
That was one of the best things they've done in a long time.
My one issue with this is, okay, and I know we're getting there. I know we're doing something very long term, but where is this going? Like, you're having Johnny and Miz tease each other. You're having Dexter involved. You know, obviously Miz paid off Dexter or failed to pay Dexter or whatever. But, like, I'm beginning to kind of sort of wonder, where are we going with this story? Like, it's a side story and there's a lot of other stuff moving on. So it's like, at what point are we going to start to hit the gas pedal on this a little bit? Like, I don't want to complain about the booking because I know they're doing it over time, but it's getting to the point with this where it's feeling a little leggy, and it's like, what's the point, basically? Where are we going?
I think we're getting there.
It's getting there, like, I think maybe the next couple of weeks. It's just, it's been going for, since August, we're now in September, you haven't really had Miz and Dexter wrestle.
We're in November.
And now you're bringing Johnny into the mix, and so it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's been going on since August, and we're in November, not September.
Oh, excuse me, November. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
So there you go. We'll see. We then had a... No, we'll save that one. All right. So we brought out... We had Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa come to the ring, and they had something to say to Damage Control, and they wanted to call them out. They call out Damage Control. They come out. Dakota's out there talking about how they beat, you know, Asuka and Alexa and all these things. And then Io started talking and Asuka started talking, and they just started yelling in Japanese at each other.
Which is fantastic.
And then, you know, you could see where Asuka's going. I forget what word she used, but everyone kind of figured out what it was. And then Io goes, "Bitch," and the crowd erupted. For the first time all night, they erupted with the word "bitch."
Right.
So you had all these women then start the brawl, right? And everything happens with there. Bianca's like, you didn't let us finish. This is no longer a fight. It's a war. So she challenged Damage Control to war games at Survivor Series. Nikki would then attack and help Damage Control have the odds in their favor one more time. Thoughts?
Can we talk about what was shown during Alexa and Asuka's entrance?
You can talk about that too.
So, during the entrance, tying back to the pay-per-view, we saw a little symbol pop up during Alexa and Asuka's entrance. That would be the symbol of when Bray Wyatt. It was very quick. A lot of people didn't catch it, but some people did. It's something's going to happen either at or after War Games. I'm not entirely sure which. And I have to wonder if, like, basically Bray being normal and fighting the darkness or whatever it is inside of him, based on what he did on Saturday, ties back to Alexa and her being normal. Because we saw her kind of go down that dark path, and then she was gone, and now she's back, and she's fine. And Bray's back, and he's fighting the darkness, basically. He's fighting his creepy Uncle Howdy who lives inside his head, I guess. I don't know. But I wonder if those two are tied in some fashion, or if, you know, we're not going to see a recruitment, or we're not going to see somebody else. Like, basically, they're doing the thing. They're starting to tease the thing between Bray and Alexa. And even to the point of maybe Bray going for Alexa. Like, Nikki Cross's whole transformation could be attributed to Bray. We don't know.
We do not know.
Because she's back to being Nikki Cross, Crazy Nikki, Sanity Nikki. And we know that the whole shit with Alexa started with Nikki and Alexa being tag team partners and Nikki failing to protect Alexa from Bray. And that's how Bray got hold of her, was because Nikki Cross failed to help her. And now in the storytelling continuity, you have Alexa normal and Nikki having gone crazy. So could they have flipped it where basically Nikki sacrifices herself for Alexa? We don't know. But like, I thought it was a nice little touch, and that's pretty much what everybody wants, is he should really go for her first in some way, shape, or form, because she is directly tied to his downfall. Okay. She betrayed him at WrestleMania. In theory, she imprisoned the Fiend. She imprisoned him. He was gone for months. We only saw him one more time, and then that was it. And basically, she overtook him, and that was it. And nothing was the same ever again. So and they did reference the betrayal when he came back. So there's something going on there. I liked this whole segment. I thought it was very entertaining. I like how we're building to the women's match. Nikki is a good addition to the Bayley group.
She is. And speaking of which, more with Nikki and Damage Control, she was being convinced to be a part of the their side. And, you know, you're one of us. You were forgotten. You were pushed aside. You're one of us. And, you know, use your aggression. Let it out. But you don't have to wait till War Games. You could take it out on Dana Brooke, in which she did. It was Nikki Cross and Dana Brooke for the 24/7 championship, which Nikki Cross would end up winning the 24/7 championship. We go to break. They're backstage, and she casually almost drops it in the trash can. It hit the can and fell out.
But the symbolism was there.
The symbolism was there. The 24/7 championship is no more.
They're going to retire the title, which makes complete sense. It had its run. It had its purpose. It was at times entertaining, but...
It needed to be retired.
It needed to be retired.
So, there was that. So, Seth Rollins has an open challenge on Monday Night Raw. Boy, howdy, did he ever. So, Rollins is in the ring. He's talking it up. He wants to know who it is. And out came the Judgment Day. Finn Balor has a bone to pick with Seth Rollins. Balor recalled Rollins costing him gold a couple of years back. He said he would return the favor by costing Rollins championship gold tonight. But before they could even square off, the OC came to the ring. They stood face to face with the Judgment Day. Styles says the things between the OC and Judgment Day were far from over. Balor said the only thing that over in the ring was Judgment Day. Balor says the OC is old news. Styles says the problem is that it's always been the three members of the OC facing all four members of the Judgment Day, and they haven't found anyone to take care of their Rhea Ripley problem. But that's okay, because somebody found the OC. This woman attacks Rhea Ripley from behind, and it's the one and only Mia Yim.
She back!
She works over Mia Yim with a kendo stick Rhea Ripley on the outside with a kendo stick. As the men took care of the others, we had a stylist clash on Dominic, and all four posed in the ring. Later, they're going drinking, and Mia's covering the tab. So Mia's back. I guess that's good.
The crowd was less than enthralled with this, which is kind of a shame.
But she's a good addition. She's apparently been really doing well in Impact since her last release from WWE, and she should be ready to go for this run, which is good. They're adding more women to the division, which is needed.
They're filling out the division, which I'm very, very thankful for. It needs a diversity.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting a lot of it.
And we're getting a lot of it, which is good. And you're getting a lot of options in the division. Hunter's basically filling it back out. He's making it stronger. He's improving upon it. And I think we're all grateful for it.
Indeed. We had a Rhea and Bianca stare down at one point backstage as well. So you're teasing the future between the two, because they were supposed to go and haven't gone yet. But the open challenge would continue. Seth Rollins came to the ring. He said it marked 10 years of his WWE career this month. He said he made the U.S. title the title to have here on Monday Night Raw. It's time to find out who's accepting his open challenge. Mustafa Ali appears. He says, don't worry about it. I'm going to be the one to accept it. He's then attacked by somebody. That was Bobby Lashley. He says Brock Lesnar was the only reason he wasn't U.S. champion. He's going to be the one accepting his challenge. Mustafa tried to get back at Lashley, who then quickly tossed him like a rag doll. And then we got to Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins. Before we get to that, thoughts on Ali being tossed around?
Oh God, is he okay? Oh my God! Like, I know he's fine, but Jesus! He got thrown around like a rag doll!
He did. So Bobby Lashley comes to the ring. He goes right after Seth Rollins. Bell doesn't even ring. He just beats on Seth Rollins over and over again. Rollins would make a couple comebacks, but would actually continue to lay him out. And he gets drilled into the barricade, into the ring post, and then slammed through the announce table. Security and everyone has to pull Lashley out. And as they do, someone walks out. Austin Theory. To go to break. come back from break, he's cashing in money in the bank. So it's Seth Rollins, Austin Theory for the United States Championship for the Money in the Bank cash-in. Theory would get multiple near falls on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins would make a couple of comebacks, even kicking out of a pedigree at one point. Theory hits the A-Town down, but Bobby Lashley pulls the referee out and then beats up Austin Theory. Theory goes, "You ruined it, you idiot," and then Lashley goes on a rampage, driving him into the barricade, putting him into the ring post, put him in the hurt lock. The referee would get back up, start a count. He thought, oh no, this is going to be a count out. No, it wasn't. He got back in before 10 to eat a stomp from Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins beats Austin Theory to retain the United States Championship. Thoughts?
This solves a problem. Like, this was all good.
Mm-hmm.
But this does solve a problem for WWE. The Money in the Bank was more or less becoming a hindrance. Like, I hate saying that. It's always a good thing to have in your back pocket. But the issue was Austin Theory kind of got it at the wrong time. Like, there was a plan, and then the plan got abandoned, and he had it, and there really wasn't much they could do with it. Like, they had, because it's like, he can't cash in on Roman. Even though it would have been awesome to see him cash in, like, at Crown Jewel or any of the other events, it's not necessarily feasible. And they're just not ready to go there with him yet. And he's only 25. I think everybody should take that into account. He's only 25. So for him to burn it on the US title, lose, that's fine, because then they can take him from here and they can do more with him, because it was hindering the character that he had the Money in the Bank. Now they can do more things with the character. They can change the character. It's not awkward that he still has the Money in the Bank. They can just move forward, like basically trash this year's and just move forward. Because it's clear that he's not going to cash in on Roman or Braun Breaker or anybody else. And there's only so many people he can use it on.
Yeah, so they had tied up the loose end. I don't know if it's going to be a Mania, because that's two big ladder matches at WrestleMania that you're going to have to try to do. I don't know if that fits, and if they do it, then that's fine, but we'll see if they nix it as a pay-per-view. People think it's going to Mania. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that. We'll see. But
what's going to Mania?
The Money in the Bank, where you're going to do the Money in the Bank matches at Mania instead of a pay-per-view.
You could. I mean, it kind of depends if you still need it. It's, again, it's one of those really good concepts in theory if the person cashes in quickly. When you do the extended cash in and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait, you kind of, again, you get the hindrance of the Money in the Bank and the fact that it's like, well, it could be cashed in at any point. That's great. So every title match you have to question, is the Money in the Bank going to be cashed in? Like every pay-per-view we predict that Austin Theory had it. It's like he's going to cash in on somebody. And it gets to the point where it's predictable. And that's the problem. That's been the problem with the Money in the Bank, is that you don't see different cash-ins. Everybody obviously goes for the world or the heavyweight title, right? Because those are the two main titles. It's automatic stardom, automatic fame. You get your 15 minutes. But it's a predictability thing. And with Roman having both titles, that creates a problem. Like, it would be easier for Theory if they hadn't unified the titles and you had two champions that Austin Theory could go for. But you don't. You have one. So, okay, all right. So then you have the IC Championship, you have the US title, and then you have the NXT men's titles. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go for tag. He obviously can't go for women. So it's a problem. And there's nothing against him going for the IC or for the US or even for the NXT titles. Like, for him to go for an NXT title would be different, but then he's down in NXT and that's not what they want. So it's kind of like, what do you do with it? What do you do with him? Like, you're telling a story with Roman. There's a plan for Roman. Austin Theory does not necessarily factor into this plan at the moment with the Money in the Bank. So you do the only thing you can do. You burn it.
Yeah. And it made sense to wrap it up, and we're good.
Yeah, he had a good showing. I hope they do more with him. Like, I hope they just don't, like, leave him by the wayside, like, that he's that last holdover from the Vince era, and so they're like, okay, all right, well, we're just gonna, you know, basically trash it after this, and we're not gonna do anything moving forward with him.
But he's a Hunter-recruited guy, so he'll be fine. He just they have to tie up this character and figure out where they want to go next. So we'll see.
We will, in fact, see, but it was a good closing to Raw.
Crowd sucked, but show was good. That's the best way to describe this episode of Monday Night Raw. We'll be back live this Thursday night for The Wreck.
That's right. Tune in. We will have our crown jewel review, news, notes, all the things. This is The Wreck. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTechRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio. CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. We're on the road to 15 years of CB Radio on December 3rd. Join us for that. Join us every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio. Sunday nights, WTR. Sunday nights, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Wild Push Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network. If you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Hood Night Item Shop. We're Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can check out my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. I am 4 followers away from becoming affiliate. Please, please, if you like Genshin Impact or you just want to go follow my channel, please follow my channel. It would be appreciated. You can also check out my YouTube channel, linzward.rockradioshow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on the YouTubes or youtube.com/@Linz Ward.
This has been the Raw Potion, presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. It's Thursday for Wreck. Right back here for the Raw Potion every Monday night. Alone Airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.